God placed on my heart. But when he placed it on my heart, I felt one way about it. But as I got into it, I learned that the way I was feeling was wrong. And so I want you to open up the Old Testament to 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter. And I pray that God would allow you to see what he has allowed me to see. Amen. Starting with verse 13. 2 Samuel 6, chapter 13 reads, "And it was so that when they that bare the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well to the women as men, to everyone a cake of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, 'How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovered himself.' David said unto Michal, 'It was before the Lord, which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. And I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in mine own sight. And I of the maidservants, which thou hast spoken of them shall I be in honor.' Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children until the day of her death." Well, subject this morning, no shame in my game. No shame in my game. Now, I've heard this sermon preached a lot of times. I myself have never engaged in it. And I was under the understanding that what I was hearing was correct. But that's why it's important for us that after we hear a sermon, to go back and research the sermon that we hear. Right. To make sure that what we hear is clear. Because the problem with not going back is you repeating what you heard about what you really don't know. There's a danger. The Bible says that my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Well, one of the things that comes to mind about the most of this is the fact that it would appear that David danced naked. Is that what you see? Is that what you hear? Because the problem is that if we go back up in the text, the Bible says that David was fully dressed. David was girded with a linen ephod. In other words, there is no way he would have been naked dancing before the Lord. Not only that, David knew better than that, that it would have been a sin to have been able to reveal himself like that before God, especially before the ark. So what Michael was doing was not telling the truth, but was attacking him with a lie. We know that that occurs from our Christian brothers and sisters, don't we? We know that when folks don't identify with the things that you're doing, or when folks don't understand, they will use a negative to steal your joy. So here we have that the ark now is coming back home. Now that's worth rejoicing in and of itself. But the fact is that sometimes we, as leaders or as important people, VIPs, pastors and preachers and teachers who have elevated themselves above who they teach. And because of that, we have become so sophisticated and so glamorized that we ourselves have the audacity to think that we may walk on water. And so David, I'm so glad that David was what we call real, down home. David was the kind that loved God, but at the same time, too, would mess up. He messed up. So David was now bringing in the ark of God, bringing God's ark back home. And yes, he was celebrating. Celebrating so hard. But while he's celebrating, in other words, while you are celebrating the fact that you are born again, while you're celebrating the fact that you have been relived or revived in Jesus, while you're celebrating that you're no longer the old person, but now you're the new person in Christ, while you're celebrating, somebody has an eye view who's looking at you and don't want you to keep living with the joy that you now have. And so instead of encouraging you, instead of pushing you, instead of trying to be a support to you, they want to throw darts for your worship, for your praise. Yeah. For your glory, for your honor. They don't want you to be different. They want the same old so-and-so they used to know. They want the person who didn't know who Jesus was. They want the one who did the dirt, who did the crime, who did the time with him. They want the old person back. They don't want people to elevate more than they have elevated themselves. Now, Michael was Saul's daughter. Now, we know the story of Saul. Saul couldn't stand David. David was chosen. Saul was picked. And Saul was dethroned and Saul was taken out. And that was Michael's father, who was once the king. Now, we know that there was a love affair because David was in love with Michael. But now something has changed since David has been given the glory that her father once had. So now to see this man, this king, this great man of God who slew Philistine giants and did everything at the hand of God out here celebrating, dancing and praising God like a fool. I know the king ain't berating himself. I know the king ain't really showing who he is. You know, come on now, you know what I'm talking about. When you go out to places and you see people of a leadership mentality, and they just look super crisp, and everything is right, and you can't even get close to them. Well, I'm sorry, I'm just a regular old preacher. But before I became a preacher, I was out there in the street like everybody else. I put my pants on the same way you put your pants on. I do the same. I got to eat. I sleep. I do everything that you do. But yet, when you get to this elevation point where you are special and people treat you special, somehow you forget who you are. Who God has called you to be. God didn't call you to be super smooth. He called you because you was raggedy and didn't know whether you was coming or going. And because of what he's brought you out of, he wants you to still be who you are. So David, not ashamed. Remember, this was the boy playing out in the fields with his sheep, slaying lions and bears. This was a kid who wasn't used to the pomp and circumstance. And now all of a sudden it's all thrown upon him. But he says, look, the ark of the Lord is coming. I'm going to dance. I'm going to praise. I'm going to shout. I don't care who sees me. Because there ain't no shame in my game. You got to understand that if God has delivered you, if God has saved you, if God has come, do you realize the power that it takes for an awesome God who sits high to come down and see about our little lives? So that when he has blessed you, that we can't do nothing but shout. But because we shout, and then sometimes we want to stop the shout. We want to squelch our praise because folks is looking at us. Woo! See, I really want to shout, but I don't want folks to see me undignified. And so while you're trying to praise God, you realize you got a Michael sitting there looking at you. And what David was saying was that I don't care how you look at me. I don't care when you look at me. But the fact is, if God has blessed me, I'm going to praise him anyhow. In other words, my amen ain't tied to what you look like. My hallelujah ain't wrapped up into what you think it looks like. My praise is not because you got me here this morning. So I'm not worried about my right side, left side, front side, or back side. All I know is my eyes are on Jesus because Jesus is the only one that set me free. So in the midst of my joy, in the midst of me feeling good when I no longer worry about what other folks think, and the devil sent somebody that I do really care about, that I do really think about, that I value their opinion, he sends them to come in and steal my joy. She said, look at you out there just acting a fool and showed yourself to all those women. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Just the king and look at you. You out there with the peasants and everybody else and you shaking like you ain't got no kind of sense. The Bible says that David loved Michal. He was coming home to bless his house. He was on fire for the Lord. He's having a great day. All is wonderful. I'm high in Jesus. I'm feeling good. And soon as I bust through the door, where you been at? What's your problem? How come you so happy all the time? What's gotten into you? Oh, you act like you ain't never been here before. You act like you don't have no more problems. You don't have no trouble. Look at you out there all drunk and acting silly. This ain't me. This is what the words say. The Bible says, and David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, in other words, she didn't wait until he got inside the house where it was between them two. You know, when Satan want to show himself, he'll show himself. So she going to meet him outside where folks can see and make this a public show. How glorious was the king of Israel today who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaid of his servant, his one vain fellow. And we got folks who are talking about David was naked. David wasn't bit more naked. But the lie indicates that she knew what she was talking about. But when you do further research, you realize unless somebody came in and untied his girded, because the mean girded means to be wrapped and strapped. Thank you very much. So she attacked him as if he was dancing so wild that folks could see him exposed. And David loved God too much to come outside a pocket like that. So, but what I want to show you is he didn't respond like we would respond. See, when folk come and they attack us and they talk about, you know, how you think you special, you all this and you all that, you know, we get all like, oh, man, I hope I ain't giving off nothing like that. Or, you know, I mean, and you get shook. I'm praising God. I think you would be excited that I'm no longer the old person, but now I'm a new creature in Christ. I don't do what I used to do. I don't say what I used to say. I'm walking out on a more solid foundation. I thought if anybody would be happy for me, it would be you because you seen where I was. But yet when I come home, I'm getting grief. David does not respond like that. David doesn't respond as, oh, woe is me. I'm feeling rejected. No, because David knows the reason why he was dancing in the first place wasn't because of Michael.
Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
In other words, can't nobody steal your joy that they didn't even give to you? So you got to understand that. I wasn't dancing for your pleasure. I wasn't praising God for your privilege. I'm not here to impress you. Matter of fact, I don't even have to ever stand before you. But God has done something in my life. So how do I respond when the devil tries to attack me? David said unto Michael, first of all, it was before the Lord, which chose me before thy father, and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. So first of all, the way you come at me, you're wrong. But I'm going to tell you why you're wrong. Number one, I'm here because God placed me here. So I wasn't just out acting a fool with the world. I was out celebrating the fact that I'm bringing home the ark of God, which is the covenant, which was more than anything that anybody could say because it had been taken for so many years in captivity. I'm bringing home what nobody else could bring home. And God blessed me to be able to bring it home because God put me in charge of these people. I said, and therefore I want God to know that my worship ain't because of the people. It's because of what you've done for me. It's because of what you brought me through. It's because of you sit high and you look low. It's because of even when I'm in my darkest places, you are still there. So when I do get back up on my feet, I'm going to give praise. But not only that, even when I'm flat out on my back, I'm going to find enough strength to give praise to God because God alone is what's done it for me.
Yeah.
He said, but if you think that was bad, you ain't seen nothing yet. So if you thought that took me out of my comfort zone, if you felt like I reduced my kingship because I danced before my people, if you think that gonna throw you off center, you ain't seen nothing yet. The Bible says, I will yet be more vile than this. Because if it comes to celebrating God or worrying about what you think, you in a world of trouble. Because can't nobody stop me from praising God. Can't nobody stop me from saying hallelujah. Can't nobody nobody stop me from clapping my hands for Jesus. Can't nobody stop me from dancing for Jesus. Can't nobody stop me from shouting for Jesus. Can't nobody stop me because can't nobody do nothing for me like Jesus did. I'm just talking about what the text got to say. See, everybody is so wrapped up and so quiet. I can't do this and I can't do that. Then maybe Jesus ain't done enough for you. I know why folks get up and run around the church. It ain't because, now, no, don't get me wrong. Some folk want to be seen. But you can tell a real sanctified run versus a worldly run. They're not concerned about what's going in the service. Right now, the Spirit has them and they want y'all to know that from the bottom to the top, I'm going to praise him anyhow. Look at me if you want. Think of me if you want. But I'm going to praise God. I don't need nobody to tell me how to praise God. I don't need nobody to tell me to turn to your neighbor. I don't need nobody to say, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I don't need nobody to poke and prod me to give what's due to who it belongs to. Glory in the name of Jesus. I'm just excited about being here this morning. Wait, do you know how close you are to this individual? Do you realize that when the Spirit of God has you, you don't have to worry about hurting or harming nobody? See, I grew up in the days when somebody starts shouting and they get a whole chain around them and they jump and they going crazy. Usher going here, usher going there. Why are you trying to corral the Spirit of God? If the Spirit has a hold of somebody, they ain't about to hurt nobody or themselves. Now, if I'm sitting right here and somebody jump up with the Spirit and hit me upside my head, oh, it's going to be some fighting going on. Because when God got you, you don't have to worry about nothing. All you got to do is give praise to God. You're not worried about, ooh, look at him. Now, I don't care what nobody say about me. I don't care what nobody think about me. I'm praising God. I don't know, but my alarm clock didn't wake me up this morning. Huh? David said, you ain't seen nothing yet. Don't let your enemies stop you from praising God. Don't let your detractors tell you what you should be doing, what you ought to be doing. Don't be concerned about who's sitting next to you. Well, they awfully quiet. They ain't moving, so I'm not going to move. He may not have done the same thing for them as he did for you. If you want to give out a praise, give out a praise. If you want to give out a shout, give out a shout. Don't worry about what nobody thinks. And if they come and say, I saw you in church today, you sure was acting up. You look back at them and say, you ain't seen nothing yet. You look back at them and you say, ain't no shame in my game. Because my God died for me. What have the people in your life done for you that would cause you to stop giving praise? He didn't let his own wife whom he loved. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that God took care of it. What? Therefore, Michael, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death. In other words, in that career, in that culture, to be barren was a curse. Don't mess with God's people. Don't be judgmental of what you see. You got one concern and one concern alone. How I praise God. And as long as I praise him for what he's done for me, I don't care what anybody else thinks, because ain't no shame in my game. You understand? I'm going to praise him in season and out of season. I don't care what's going on. If I got to stop my father when he got saved, yelled out of the bus early in the morning, I'm saved! I'm saved!
Yeah.
In other words, he didn't care who was on the street. He didn't care who was around because he know he just passed from death to life. And he wanted God to know, I'm giving you praise because only you could save a mess like me. The doors of the church are open this morning.